We've all learned things that limit us as human beings. Whether from well-intentioned parents, teachers, clergy, or others, or from the media, we've learned some things that are not very good for us at all. Passed down through generations, even centuries, much of this destructive learning is so ingrained in our lives that we're no longer conscious of it. In one of his routines, comedian Buddy Hackett, raised on his mother's rich cooking, claimed that he never realized it was possible to leave the table without feeling heartburn until he was in the army. He was so accustomed to his mother's cooking that heartburn had become a way of life. In the same way, pain engendered by damaging cultural conditioning is such an integral part of our lives that we're often no longer distinguishing its presence. It takes tremendous energy and awareness to recognize this destructive learning and transform it into thoughts and behaviors that are of value and of service to life. This requires a literacy of needs and the ability to get in touch with ourselves, both of which can be difficult if we have gone through some cultural training that teaches us not to be connected to ourselves. Not only have we never been educated to be literate about our needs, we're often exposed to cultural training that actively blocks our consciousness. As mentioned earlier, we've inherited a language that served kings and powerful elites in domination societies. The masses, discouraged from developing awareness of their own needs, have instead been educated to be nice, dead people. Our culture implies that needs are negative and destructive. The word needy applied to a person suggests inadequacy or immaturity. When people express their needs, they're often labeled selfish, and the use of the personal pronoun I is at times equated with selfishness or neediness. By encouraging us to separate observation and evaluation, to acknowledge the thoughts or needs shaping our feelings, and to express our requests in clear action language, nonviolent communication heightens our awareness of the cultural conditioning influencing us at any moment. And drawing this conditioning into the light of consciousness is a key step in breaking its hold on us. We can apply nonviolent communication to resolve the internal conflicts that often result in depression. In his book, Revolution in Psychiatry, Ernest Becker attributes depression to cognitively arrested alternatives. To me, this means that when we have a judgmental dialogue going on within, we become alienated from what we are needing and cannot then act to meet those needs. Depression, then, is indicative of a state of alienation from our own needs. A woman studying nonviolent communication was suffering a profound bout of depression. She was asked to identify the voices within her when she felt the most depressed and to write them down in dialogue form as though they were speaking to each other. The first two lines of her dialogue were Voice 1, which was labeled by her Career Woman. I should do something more with my life. I'm wasting my life. I'm wasting my education. I'm wasting my talents. Voice 2, which she labeled Responsible Mother, said to her, You're being unrealistic. You're a mother of two children. You can't handle that responsibility. So how can you handle anything else? Notice how these inner messages are infested with judgmental terms and phrases such as should, wasting my education and talents, etc. Variations of this dialogue have been running for months in the woman's head. She was then asked to imagine the career woman voice taking a course in nonviolent communication and thinking what it would be said if she could say it in terms of her feelings and needs. She subsequently translated, I should do something with my life. I'm wasting my education and talents into, when I spend as much time at home with the children as I do without practicing my profession. I feel discouraged because I'm really needing the fulfillment I once had in my profession. Therefore, I now would like to find some part-time work in my profession. Then it was the turn of her voice, responsible mother, to undergo the same process. The lines, "You're being unrealistic. You're a mother of two children and can't handle that responsibility. So how can you handle anything else?" were transformed into, "When I imagine going to work, I feel scared because I'm needing reassurance that the children will be well taken care of. Therefore, I would now like to plan how to provide high-quality child care while I work, and also how to find sufficient time to be with the children when I'm not tired." This woman felt great relief as soon as she translated her inner messages in this way. She was able to get beneath the alienating messages she was repeating to herself and offer herself empathy. Although she still faced practical challenges, such as securing quality child care and her husband's support, she was no longer subject to the judgmental internal dialogue that kept her from being aware of her own needs and for taking actions to meet her needs. When we're entangled in critical, blaming, or angry thoughts, it is difficult to establish a healthy internal environment for ourselves. Nonviolent communication helps us create a more peaceful state of mind by encouraging to have just invested not only wanting, rather than on what is wrong with ourselves or others.